Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Another awesome Sunday morning. Don't you just love Sunday? Praise God.
Love it. Love
come to the Father's house and rejoice and sit at His feet and listen to what He has to say to His children. Well, Father, we thank You for this opportunity we have this morning to come before You. Lord, You're so awesome and You're so loving and kind. And we want to thank You, Father, that You have shown, You have shed forth Your love in our hearts. And that, Father, that we know and understand because You have ordained us to understand
You,
the depths of Your love, Father. You want to reveal Your heart to us. And, Father, we're here this morning to receive from Your abundant love and Your abundant word. Thank You for it, Father. We position ourselves to receive the seed of the word today, and we call it to harvest in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to a study in the Word again. The title of today's message is Stir Yourself Up.
Stir yourself up.
Are you ready to stir yourself up?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, the subject of our current series is a study in the living Word. And this is message number 26. Title is Stir Yourself Up. For the past several messages, we have been talking about the abiding Word and the fact that the living Word must abide in our hearts in order for it to come to harvest or manifestation. We have also been talking about the necessity of protecting the abiding Word by guarding our hearts against what would prevent the abiding Word from coming to harvest or manifestation. Last week we discussed being strong in the Lord. And in order to protect the abiding Word in our hearts, we must be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
We must be. Again, if you do not protect the Word that's abiding in your heart, it will not come to pass.
That's right.
So many of us, we genuinely want to receive. We genuinely do everything that we know to do. We come before the Lord. We get the Scripture. We sit there and believe God for it. We know it's going to come to pass. We agree with that. And we walk right out that door and start talking. Either we talk against that by somebody asking you a question. You say, oh, how are you doing? You say, I'm not doing too good. Well, you just broke it. You just aborted your own prayer. You just aborted what you were standing on. Others of us will do that, and we won't say anything against what we've settled, but we won't protect the Word that's abiding. When you receive the Word, it abides in our hearts, and we got to guard that heart. We got to guard against the things that would hinder that Word from coming to pass. The same way that you would guard a seed in your garden or some plant that you plant and it's young and it's got to grow up, you guard that. You water it, take care of it, weed it. It's the same way with the abiding Word. Note the word abiding. It has to live in our hearts. And that's where we usually fall short. We'll fall short by not allowing the Word to abide. And that's our job, not God's job. We'll even believe God for it and believe He's bringing it to pass. And we agree with that. But we stop protecting the Word. We let it go. We let the things and the cares of this world choke that Word. We prevent it from coming to pass ourselves. And we don't realize we're doing it. We'll get wrapped up in the cares and concerns of the world and allow that Word to lose its ability to bring forth the harvest that we're desiring. And we'll think that God did not do His part. No, we didn't do our part. We were not strong in the Lord. We didn't stir ourselves up. We didn't protect the abiding Word. And see, that God can't protect that Word. He puts it in our hearts. And if we'll do what we're required to do, He backs what we do. But it's up to us. We're a free will being. We have to choose to protect that abiding Word. That's our job, not God's.
And we have to learn that.
We have to learn that. Yeah. And somebody has to tell us and teach us those things.
That's where our faith walk comes in.
That's where our faith walk comes in. And faith comes by how?
Hearing.
If I'm not hearing, then I'm not feeding that Word. If I'm not keeping the Word before my eyes, I'm not protecting that Word. I'm not receiving it. See, I need to go back to those Scriptures over and over again. And once I settle it, I need to keep those Scriptures before me. I need to keep agreeing with them, not asking for them again because I've already agreed. But now I'm in thanksgiving from this because I have that inner image of the harvest of this coming forth. I'm watering it. I'm protecting it. I'm keeping things out of my life that would hinder that word or draw my attention away. As I've mentioned several times in this series and in other times, Satan has only one way to prevent the word from coming to pass. He has to deceive me into moving away or to letting it go or to stop. He has to do that. Otherwise, that word's coming to pass because that word has to come to pass. It's got God's own life in it. It's been ordered by God to come to pass because his life, his word is life.
Amen.
He and his word is one. So once it's activated, it's coming to pass. There's only one person that can keep it from coming to pass. That's me.
That's right.
That's me. Satan has to get me to let it go. He has to get me to doubt it. He has to get me to function in fear or worry or concern. He has to do that. He has to deceive me into doing that. And when I do that, I move from spiritually minded, which is where I protect that word. I move from there to carnally minded. And once he's got me there, once I agree with him to move there, and I may not even know I'm agreeing with him, but once I yield to those things and don't put a stop to them, now I'm moving his way. The stronger that gets, the stronger my carnal nature gets, the weaker the word gets. Not because it's weak in and of itself, but because I'm pulling it up. I'm letting it go. It's not watered. And that's not God's fault.
Amen.
See, Satan knows that. He's got to deceive us. That's all he has. And if I know that, if I know the only way he can keep it from coming to pass is deception, then I've got to guard my heart against that.
Yes.
Against what he uses. Mm-hmm. And he always uses the same thing. I am the one, we talked about last week being strong in the Lord. I'm the one that has to draw on that strength in the Lord. We used two main scriptures last week, and I'll read them again. Don't worry about going there. Ephesians 6:10, Paul said in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. See, that's where the power comes. And Satan tries to move us away from that union. That union with God is a spiritual union, our spirit to his spirit. And in order to keep it from coming to pass, he has to weaken that union in somehow. And the way he does that is put us being carnally minded. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. He provides the strength, but I got to be tapped into it. And I can't tap into it carnally.
That's right.
I tap into it spiritually. And the other scripture we used is Ephesians 3:16. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Our strength comes from the inside, not the outside.
Right.
So many of us make the mistake of seeing God out there. We don't realize we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But we see God way up there, and that he's got to turn some switches and pull some buttons and then shovel us a load of power.
We forget that he's within us.
Yeah. He's in me, praise God. Yes. He saw to it that that his spirit, and when I got born again, our spirits became one.
Amen.
We're one. That's what happened when I got born again. His very life, everything he is inside me.
Hallelujah.
My spirit and his spirit are one. Everything I need for life and godliness resides inside my spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
I got to draw on it. That's what Paul's saying here. Draw on that boundless might which he provides. Yes, Christian.
Oh, years ago, I learned this for myself that whenever, especially working with addicts and alcoholics and just anyone,
yeah,
anybody, when we mess up, I'll say when I messed up in the
right.
past,
mm-hmm.
that is when I thought I would run furthest from the Lord. But I would tell them, can you wrap your mind around one thing? Run to him, even in your worst, even in the state that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Run to him. He knows it anyway. But run to him with them things. He loves you just as you are right now, but just run to him instead of away from him.
Draw nigh to God.
Nothing but change can happen.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, he told us, this one guy said that the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, when you confess your sin, it's not when I find out about it.
Yeah, that's when you get rid of it.
Yeah,
you get rid of it then, because you confess it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Word says in James,
a little bit about it.
Yeah. James says to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So the drawing nigh to God is not God. He's already come as far as he can. He's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's merged with me. I have to draw nigh to him.
Yes.
My choice.
Amen.
And see, Satan knows that. So he tries to move you away. But he can't move you away unless you agree with him.
That's right.
And you may not know you're agreeing. You're focusing on something he's trying to bring your way to focus on. You move your focus from the Word and God and love and walk, the love walk, and you move over to what he wants you to focus on.
Deception is one of the devil's greatest works.
That's the big gun. Because that's all he has. Yeah. Jesus, deception's a lie, right? Jesus said he is a lie and a liar, and he's the father of lies.
Yeah.
He calls Satan the father of lies. So where do the lying comes from? Where does deception come from? Doesn't come from God.
No.
No, God is truth.
That's
so
right.
There's no deception in him if he's truth. So we need to remember these things. What I do makes the difference. I'm the umpire in my life. God gives me his peace to be my umpire. But I'm the one that makes the deciding choice.
Right.
And that's what Satan don't want us to know that. In order to guard our hearts and keep the Word abiding, or the abiding Word abiding, we need to know what to guard our hearts against. And we spent 6 messages on talking about that, on guarding our hearts and guarding our hearts against weariness. Well, the titles were What We Need to Do to Guard Our Hearts, Part 1, 2, and 3, and Guarding Our Hearts Against Weariness, A Major Enemy, 1, 2, and 3. So there's 6 messages there on guarding our hearts against talking about how to guard our hearts. And we need to go back to those again. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to the past 9 messages. That's the abiding Word, and then guarding our hearts, and then guarding our hearts against weariness. We don't have to become weary. So that's what we've talked about. You can go to our webpage and download them or listen to them or whatever. But this week we're talking about stirring ourselves up. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, we have to stir ourselves up. That's not God's job.
That's right.
God, that's not his job. That's our job. We stir ourselves up. We get we get in the Word. We do what's required to stir ourselves up. We are the ones that decide whether or not we're going to be stirred up. Most of us don't want to be stirred up. We don't want to put the effort out.
Uh-huh.
We think God's going to stir me up.
Well, that, and we like to run around to see who else is having a revival. That'll stir us up.
No, it doesn't stir us up.
No.
We may be positioned by going, but it's still my job. Not God's, and not the other people, and not the church. I stir myself up.
Today it seemed to me like one of the greatest avenues and vehicles that Satan has is through the television.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable, the deception.
Yeah.
And just constantly opening the door for people to come into a wrong position.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what he uses. Satan doesn't just come one time to deceive you. His tools are always the same, a little different ribbon, but he knows you have been telling him. You've been telling him all your life what pushes your buttons, how you respond to things. He's been keeping a record on you, on what makes you mad, what gets you upset, what you focus on the most, and he sees to it in some way he's bringing that to you. And you have to receive that, and if you don't resist it, if you don't turn your mind to something else, you're going to flow that way.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to do it because we are creatures of habit, and he knows that. Well, let's get a habit of resisting him. Let's get a habit of the word. Let's get a habit of concentrate on the things that stir ourselves up. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and faith is what I need, faith in the word, then what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to hear the word.
Yes.
I'm going to have to put my eyes to the word. That's my decision. I'm going to have to turn some things off, change some places where I go. I'm going to have to, on purpose, sit down and read the Bible, study it, think about it, listen to it, come to Bible studies, come to church, go to a friend and just talk to them, pray with people. I'm going to have to do that. God will give me opportunities. He will share things with me. He will encourage me and quicken me, but he will not make me do it. See, Satan tries to force you not to do it. Try to get so many things going on in your life that you don't have time for the word.
Right.
You think.
You know what I've discovered in my life is that is a tremendous value of fasting.
Mm. Yeah.
Purposely. I mean, you don't have to fast 4 or 5 days, but just purposely.
Yes.
Fast and just concentrate on the Lord and rest in his peace. And I tell you what, when I started doing that, that's when the enemy would really try to attack me.
Got to get him away from there.
Yeah. You're too hungry to do
Yeah. All you have to do to be hungry, just claim, just declare a fast. Declare your fast, I'm telling you. And now I'll say, body, I said shut up.
Yeah. What you're doing, you're positioning yourself to hear the voice of the Father.
Yes.
What you're doing. You're setting aside your own desires and wants to be with him. That's what you're doing. And whether it's food or something else. And then go to Isaiah 58 and read. Well, I'm not going to go there because it takes too long, but one at a time. But read Isaiah 58 and see what God calls to fast. If all I do is eat, I haven't really fasted. Not eat. I haven't really fasted.
Right.
There's a whole list of other things there. He says, is this what I call a fast? Talked about sitting in. I guess I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because so many people don't know it. They don't really read that. But he lists a whole bunch of things they're doing and calling a fast. Sitting in sackcloth and ashes and doing all this other stuff. And then he asks a question. He says, is this the fast that I required of you? Question mark. In other words, no. This is the fast. And it talks about going to the will and the ark and sharing your food with others. Basically doing the love walk. All those things. And if you go back to what the tithe is in Deuteronomy, the fast and the tithe line up and lay on top of one another.
Exactly.
And then you go another step, Luke 4:18 and 19, the mission that Jesus was sent for. He says, the Father has sent me to. They line up right over the top of the fast and right over the top of the tithe. God's not changed his mind. He's trying to position us to where he can work in our lives. And two of those were pre-cross. Before he was risen from the dead. He required that pre-cross. He still requires that because it's positioning ourselves. Food takes the place of sackcloth and ashes. If all I do is not eat, I really haven't completed the fast.
Yes.
That's right.
I've positioned myself
for it,
but I've not done the rest of it. And that was pre-cross, but it's also post-cross.
Amen.
It's not changed. And that's what...
I have discovered in the years that we were in the ministry, this obedience unto paying God his tithe was one of the greatest acts of faith that believers
yes.
face.
Oh, absolutely.
Read the blessings along the tithe. That he's positioning you.
Yeah.
He's not making you do something. He's not making you give your money. He's giving you an opportunity. And when you do that, you position yourself for the blessings. He wants to pour himself out.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's part of our stirring, isn't it? I'm glad you mentioned the tithe and the fast, Brother Elvin, because...
Can I just share a little experience?
Sure.
I went broken business. I think I told you all about that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And went home, and my lawyer had told me, he said, Elvin, file bankruptcy as quick as you can. They're going to eat you alive. I went home, and my wife said, well, how'd it go? I told her. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to pray. We went and knelt down beside the bed, and we prayed in the Holy Ghost for about 10 minutes. Peace of the Lord came down on us. When we stood up, she said, now what are we going to do? The first thing I spoke, it was by the Holy Ghost. We are going to pay a tithe on every dollar that comes into our hands.
Yes.
And I want to tell you what, that was one of the main keys.
Yes.
In God continuing to pour into us.
Oh, yeah.
And yes. 21 and a half years later, we paid off the last debt.
Yes.
Last payment of that debt.
See, people say we can't afford to. I got some. You can't afford not to.
Amen.
Because that opens the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
It positions you to hear His voice. He wants to pour His fullness out on us, and we don't know it. See, that's part of stirring ourselves up, is in being obedient to what He's asking. That's what He wants.
Yeah.
But I have to position myself. See, here, go on with our thing. I need to remember, He paid the price. And He gave us everything needed to stir ourselves up.
Amen.
He gave us all of that. But He will not do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, He cannot do it for us. We're a free will being. It must be our choice to stir ourselves up. He will teach us how. He will strengthen us so that we can stir ourselves up. But it must be our choice to do so. See, He will not... People pray that way, oh Lord, please stir me up. Oh Lord, cause me to come.
Yeah.
He can't do that. I draw nigh to Him.
Yes.
You see, I stir myself up.
Yes. And when things are going on and you're really going through stuff and you're just feeling crushed, just crushed by it all, the Lord said He's close to those that are...
Yes, yes,
you know,
He is.
And if you're so crushed you can't even hardly open your mouth to say anything, well, when you can. Immediately.
Yes.
Lord, thank You.
Amen.
Father, I thank You.
Yes.
Lord, I love You.
Yes.
You've been so good to me. I appreciate You.
There you
You
go.
Are wonderful. And look how it just brings your
yes.
head
it,
up,
absolutely.
Your arms up. It brings you up because my eyes are looking to where my help
right.
comes from.
That's
my help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Exactly right.
So,
oh,
you.
That,
yes.
That's exactly
Hallelujah.
Right. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, but I have to tap into it.
Yep.
I have to call it up.
Yes.
It's resident because He's there.
Yes.
The fruit is all there. We pray for patience. Patience is a fruit. He can't give it to me. He already has.
Mm-hmm.
He can't give me joy because I already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is not a feeling or an emotion. Joy is a force that I have to tap into.
Yeah.
And it's the same with all these other things. I have to do the action. He backs my action. And when I tap into it is when He pours in.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to position myself. If you look all the way, all through all the covenants, all those covenants were there from the very first one with Adam when they fell and he killed an animal. That was a covenant was made. And He said, there's one coming. That was part of the covenant. All of those covenants, He was positioning man, giving him an opportunity so that he could come. He couldn't make him come because that's not love. And it would break our free will. We'd be puppets and slaves.
Yes.
And that's not the way it is. The power is in the choice.
Yes.
So by making those covenants, man had the opportunity to come. Now there had to be conditions. Because he wasn't God of the world, Satan was. Man was supposed to be, but man separated. So now man had to have a way back. So all that time, all those covenants, God was positioning man in a way that he could come if he wanted to. And then that would allow God to pour out, which he wanted to so much. But he was still hindered because the cross hadn't happened.
It happened at the cross. Didn't
when the cross happened,
shed blood of Jesus.
There's nothing preventing it but me. Satan cannot prevent it. He has to move me.
Yeah.
And he can't do that unless I cooperate with him. And anyone, anywhere, anytime, no matter what they've done or who they are or where they live, None of that matters because he died once for all.
Amen.
Anyone can go free anywhere at any time.
And he has given each of us a free will.
Yep.
And he will not interfere
He will not interfere with it. That is where the power lies, because with free will, man chose to move away, chose to obey Satan. With the free will, man can come back.
Yes.
But a way hadn't been made yet till the cross. Once that cross, once the man Jesus, fully man, fully God, died on that cross for us, the way was made. And now those angels declared it when he was born. He said, now there's peace between God and man.
Hallelujah.
Peace. I got my Savior in the world. You can't get him out. Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
But even at that, we can be born again and still live a miserable life because we don't get in the Word. We don't stir ourselves up.
Yep.
Now, I may need to go to somebody and say, hey, I need to be stirred up here. Can you help me? The person can't stir you up, but he can study with you. He can pray with you. You can do all kinds of things together that will help you. You may not know how to stir yourself up. He may not know how to help you.
You know what I've found through the years in doing a lot of counseling with people? One of the main areas is in relationship, man and wife.
Yes.
It's just amazing how the enemy will try to encroach.
Oh, he has to.
Yeah.
Because that's the church. That's God. And, you know, he has to separate there. And if he can separate there, he can separate anywhere else. So let's get started on some scriptures here. Praise God. So I need to remember those things. I got to choose. I got to stir. God will back what I do. His power moves when I move.
Amen.
If I don't move, he cannot move. Because I'm blocking him. Satan can't block him. I block him. 2 Timothy 1:6, we read this a couple days ago, but we're going to read it again. Because it directly commands us. Now, yes, Paul's talking to Timothy. But Timothy was written not only to Timothy, it was written to the church. So he's still talking to us. 2 Timothy 1:6, I'm going to use the King James and refer to the Amplified in this case. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now therefore it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. The Amplified says, to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. So, you see, the Amplified is bringing the fullness of what it means to stir ourselves up. King James, stir up the gift. Amplified, stir up, rekindle the embers. Now, what does rekindle mean? How do you rekindle a fire?
Poke it.
You poke it, you put more wood on it, you either put paper on it or kindling. If all you've got just a little bit of ember, just a little bit there, you put paper on it or some old dry grass or something, it's going to start burning again.
And just a little bit of the wind of
just
the Spirit.
Just a little bit of wind of the Spirit, you know.
And there you go.
Where is the Spirit again? He's in me. Yeah. So if I start stirring myself, these embers of the Word and the embers of the fire of the Spirit, that fire is going to start burning because he's blowing on it.
Yes.
You know, I was an adjuster for 32 years. I worked a lot of fires. A fire creates its own wind.
Mm-hmm.
It gets started and it will burn. It will burn its own wind. It will create. That's what you call fire needles.
Yeah.
Fire needles. If you watch these brush fires, they'll talk about them. Well, that fire created that. It's burning and it gets the wind stirring and it'll do that. So when I start rekindling, that stirs that inner wind within me. Isn't that awesome? And it then blows the fire and keeps it going. So, to rekindle. So, if you go to rekindle, it means it was already burning. It was burning. You got born again. The fire was there, but you let it out. You didn't do anything to keep it burning. So, I got to stir those up. God's not going to stir them up for me. He's going to tell me to do it and show me how and encourage me. send labors across my pathway, hear his little voice. But each time that happens, I got to ignore it. That's what Satan wants me to do. Every time I ignore it, the voice gets quieter. Why? Because I'm moving away. But once I obey it, then it gets louder. And he starts teaching me how to restir that up again. Then it says to fan the flame of. So once I get it rekindled, what do? I fan it. You start that little burning, a little bit of fire, you start blowing that. Might even be some wood laying there yet that went out. But you start with that piece of paper or whatever you're doing.
Like a bellows on a
on a blacksmith thing. So I fan the flame of, and then it says keep burning. So I rekindle, I fan, and I keep burning. God will provide everything.
Fuel. He'll provide the fuel on the fire.
He'll provide the fuel.
Yeah.
He even lit the fire when I got born again. All I did was, but I have to take care of the fire. The same way I've got to take care of that seed that's planted in my heart and life. So, you see, right by the way that's written, whose job it is. It's my job. And notice it's the gracious gift of God. It's the gift of God. I didn't earn it. He gave it to me. He started the fire burning, and now I keep it burning. That's my job. Or I keep myself refreshed or stirred up.
You know that little song we're saying, burn, burn.
Oh, yeah. It says in verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
And that sound mind is the mind of Christ.
That's the mind of Christ. He gave it to us. But I got to walk in it. I got to tap into it. The Amplified says, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. He did not give us that. So if you're going through any of that timidity, you back off every time something happens, you back off, you're real timid about it, you're a coward. You refuse to face your issues in your life. You run away from your issues and problems. Of craving and cringing and fawning fear. If you're walking around in fear, God did not give you any of those. He did not give them to you. They were offered to you. You were not born that way. They were offered to you. You were trained that way. You were taught that way. So you received it and walked in it.
Especially if the people around you were that way.
Exactly. If you do not, you can break it. You don't have to function there. Because God didn't give it to you. And when you got born again, that old man's dead. He doesn't exist anymore. The body does, the house, but not the man. You're a new creation altogether. So you can go back to the day you got born again. Even if you don't remember the day, there's a point when you got born again. And you can refer to that. Satan? Yes, Mother?
Today's my day.
This is your born again day. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
1959.
I was 6 years. It was the summer I turned 7.
When she received Jesus. She's older than that.
That's okay. So good.
In the natural. Her body's house is a little older. Needs some paint here.
Not much older. Not much. Barely, huh?
She got born again there.
A little bit since then?
You know, I spent many years without any teaching, or very little, and not the way I've learned in the last 40 years, at least. Yeah. But I was born again. I asked Jesus into my heart.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And what did he do?
Amen.
He came in.
Yes, he did.
He came in instantly.
I knew instantly.
Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. So well, but you can refer to that day, like I started to say, if Satan comes against you, with the old past and all of that, you can use that day as a weapon. Satan, I was born again, 1959 or whatever your day was. Mine was in October of 1981. 81.
October 4th.
We can October 4th, but
we remember.
We can use those dates as a weapon. Satan, that's in my past. Not only is it in the rock of time and can't be changed, but it's not part of who I am now. That man died. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is not part of me. And you could use that as a weapon. And even if I did it now, Father, I confess that sin. Now it's gone. 1 John 1:9. You can stay clean, and that's how you resist him. But you stir yourself up. Okay, so we found out that God didn't give us any of that. So if God didn't give it to us, Satan is the author of it. We participated in what he did, what he gave us. But the but means, instead of giving us that, what did God do? But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. If you are born again and you're having mental problems, you can change that with the word.
Amen.
Because God did not give that to you. Well, it's a chemical imbalance. I don't care what kind of an imbalance it is, God didn't give it to you. Mm-hmm. Plus, your brain is a chemical manufacturer. If you meditate on fear, it manufactures fear chemicals. It spreads them through your body and you'll become ill. If you're meditating on grief and worry and fear and all these things, your brain manufactures that. If you're meditating on depression, you're focused on the wrong thing. So your brain's manufacturing chemicals related to that. And it sends those chemicals throughout your body. And your body becomes sick. Because it's not meant to function there. Our bodies are meant to function with love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and love. That's who we are. We're love creatures. The other things are not, they're foreign to us. They're diseases. We have to treat them that way. They don't belong to us. They don't belong to the born-again person. And if you were come up that way all your life, well, you can use that born-again time. That was severed from who you were. You're no longer that person. But you have to do the battle with it. You have to take the word. You have to fill your word self with the word. You have to fill your mind with the word and your heart in order for your spirit to be in dominion. Once it comes in dominion, he gave us that sound mind. I have a right to a sound mind.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a right to it. I'm born again. Now, there's testimony. I'm about out of time already. Well, anyways, there's testimonies of insane people. Totally the far back in the holes they can send them. But someone got the word to them. And they started meditating and praying in the word to come out of there. Because the word renewed their mind. The word. But I have to do something with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he's given us a mind that is calm, is full of love, it's well balanced. And I have discipline and self-control. Well, I'm not very disciplined. Well, you can be.
Yep.
It takes practice like anything else. Just try it.
The word becomes your anchor. I was going to go to Hebrews 12, 12 and 13, but I'm going to just refer to it briefly and then jump forward because I'm about out of time. Hebrews 12:12. I'm just going to read it. It speaks for itself.
What is it?
Hebrews 12:12. And this is the Amplified Classic again. So then, brace up, reinvigorate, and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees. And cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. I like the way the Amplified puts that. Who does all of that? The person does.
Mm-hmm.
God will back it. He will strengthen me, teach me how. He'll be with me all the way through it. The Holy Spirit is bringing life to me as I do it. I got to decide to do it and put some action to it.
He gives us wisdom with understanding.
With understanding. And tells just me what the key is here in my life, personally, what I need to do this. But I'll jump to Philippians 2:13. We can spend some time there, but I don't have time to spend there right now. Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength. So we don't do any of this in our own strength. If it's in my own strength, I'm doing it carnally. I'm the one that's doing this. I'm not the one that's forcing it. I'm just yielding myself to the Lord. I'm putting my feet to it. He's strengthening me and pouring His Spirit out in me and doing the work through me. I'm not the one doing it. I'm making the choice and the steps. He's pouring His Spirit and power through me to accomplish it.
Amen.
If I was doing it myself, that wouldn't be happening. I'd be on my own. And let me give you a secret. You can't do it on your own. You can't. So not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Once I yield to Him and I set my love upon Him, then He places His desire in me. How does He do that? Because our spirits are one. I got born again. I got to position myself, and then He pours out and through and in me. He teaches me. That's why whatever I ask of the Father in His name, He'll give it to me, because I'm automatically asking in His will, because my will and His are one. We're one. I'm yielding to His will. So, yeah, He's going to give me whatever I ask, because we're one. It's a very simple thing. God, we position ourselves, He moves. So He energizes and He creates in me the power and the desire.
Amen.
Once I yield. Acts 20:32. Now Paul's leaving. It's going to be his final time seeing these people. And he says, Acts 20:32, "And now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. And I commend you to the word of His grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of His unmerited favor." It, His unmerited favor, His grace, that's what that it is. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set-apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. That's the born-again person. So He's able to build you up. He's able to give you your rightful inheritance. Able and doing it are two different things.
Right.
A lot of places in the Bible He said that you might.
Yeah.
It means that He's done His part. I have a part to play to activate it.
That's where faith comes in.
That's where faith comes in, and trust. I set my love upon Him, then He can do something. I yield to Him, then He can give. It's always up to me. See, Satan knows that. If you got a strong Christian here that loves God, really endeavoring to just do everything he can, he will try to get the person into a place where he expects God to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, God, please give me. He did give us some things, but I got to activate them. We expect God to do everything. Oh, God, please do this and please do that. And the Word says that I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to take my authority. I'm supposed to stir myself up. God, please stir me up. He's done everything He possibly can. He's given us the means to stir ourselves up with. And He's not lacking anywhere. But if I, see, I'm a strong Christian. I love God. I'm not wanting anything to do with Satan. But I'm expecting God to stir me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He can't. That's my job.
Oh. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, if you begin to concentrate on and figure out what is your heart, what's contained there.
Yes.
Is that the mechanism where life comes from? You know?
Depending on the life you're talking about, spiritual life or natural life.
Yeah.
Natural life is just a blood pump. Yeah. Spiritual life, when the Bible's talking about that, the heart, talking about our spirit.
Yeah.
Real us. So I do that. So Isaiah 41:10, I'm going to get these two in so I can change next week. Isaiah 41:10. This is amplified. I love the way it puts it here. Fear not. So what's fear not? It's a commandment, right? Don't do that. Why? Because fear is of Satan, not of God. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. I like the way it adds that little.
Hallelujah.
Fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you. That's why I fear not, because he's with me and he's in me. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up, retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. He didn't say he would take you away from the problem. He said he would harden you to them. In other words, what that means is he will keep that problem or issue from dominating you. He will give you the strength to walk right through it. He will strengthen you and bring you peace and rest in the times of storm.
Amen.
You know, I've noticed this to be so true when people are going through maybe cancer.
Yeah.
Or some real difficult, long-lasting thing they have to deal with, to be able to stay in that position,
yeah,
of trusting God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know my wife, you know, she was insulin-dependent diabetic for 44 years, and I saw that in her, the most amazing thing, the way she just stood steadfast.
Steadfast.
4 shots of insulin a day, 2 blood tests a day, 73,000 insulin shots. Never heard her complain but twice. And the complaint was this, honey, I wish I didn't have to take all these shots, but that's all right. I'm just going to trust the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Now that's the kind of strengthening we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the issue, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is, if I will lean not to my own understanding and trust him, and do what we're talking about, stirring ourselves up, that's my part. Then he will harden me to where I can walk right through those things.
It says harden, but I think a better word would be toughen.
Toughen, yeah.
Yeah, make us tough.
Yeah. Tough to walk right
but
with spaces.
But don't kill you, makes you strong.
Yeah.
Lots of endurance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's what the Amplified says. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, so do not look around. Don't look at those things. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. Why am I not going to look around? I'm not concerned about him because he's my God. He's with
yeah.
me. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. So when he strengthens you, as he strengthens you, you harden to those difficulties. Why? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and he can. That's what he wants to do. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Praise God. And one more, Jude 1:24, and then I can change
that's
next that. Week.
Jude
1:24.
It's the last page
there's only
before
one.
Revelations.
Yeah, there's only one Jude. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able. So notice he's able. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and present you blameless, blameless and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight to the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power and authority before all time and now and forever, until all the ages of eternity. Amen. Yes, so be
amen.
It.
Amen.
So he is able to keep me from stumbling. But if I don't stir myself up, he can't keep me from stumbling. See, that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to stumble and fall.
Amen.
So in times of weariness, we can obtain times of refreshing from the Lord.
Yes.
It don't matter how weary we are. We talked 3 lessons on weariness and how to prevent it, because it is a major enemy in our life. We cannot afford to become weary.
Amen.
That's why we got to be strong in the Lord, and why we got to stir ourselves up.
Well, it's just weary in well doing.
Yeah. Weary.
When you're in the midst of trying to do well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear the voice of your Word today as you've taught us these things. Thank you for strengthening us, Father. We choose to be stirred up.
Thank you, Lord.
We choose to be stirred up. We're strengthened from our inner man by your Spirit. We yield to that strengthening, and we yield our hearts to you and position ourselves in your precious Word to be stirred up. Thank you, Father, for all that you do and will continue to do in our lives, for teaching us moment by moment. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Yeah.